Welcome to A Dopamine Kick.
Yes, another ADHD podcast.
We're your hosts, Sparky and Shell.
Join us each week and we can hyper-focus together on all things ADHD.
This is our journey to diagnosis, the challenges, frustrations and humour that come when living with ADHD as adults.
Let the interrupting begin!
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 97 of A Dopamine Kick. Today we're going to be talking about how you can, maybe not how you can stop people pleasing, but at least how you can reduce it and keep it to a more manageable level.
That was actually what I was going to put reducing, and then I changed it to stop and then reducing, and I just couldn't decide. So I also wanted to just say something. Last episode, I don't know what happened, but I just talked so fast. It's like I couldn't get my words out. And I was listening to it and I was like, what the hell is wrong with me? So I'm going to try in this episode to slow down a little bit so I'm not so...
Oh, I thought you were going to say to speak less.
Oh, well, I mean, if you want me to speak less, Shell, you can just take over the episode if you want to. That sounded so brummy then.
It'd be lovely the episode.
Let's talk about ADHD and how to overcome people pleasing. So people pleasing can be really challenging if you have ADHD because it can make it difficult to set boundaries and assert yourself. So we thought we'd talk about some strategies to help you stop people pleasing or reduce people pleasing. But first, I just wanted to say that remember that it's time, money, attention, resources are all energy that are limited with ADHD. So we do need to make sure that this energy is not being passed on to people pleasing. It can have a detrimental effect. It can, in the end, make us burnt out and really overwhelmed. And I just wanted to preface this by saying that I'm not asking you not to care about other people. I think when people say online, and I hear this a lot, that you need to stop caring about what other people think, I do think that's a little bit misguided because we do need to care about other people's feelings to some extent. Otherwise, we'd all be walking around like being really selfish. But there are times where we need to do what's best for us.
I'm so glad you decided to stop talking so much.
Oh, fucking hell. I went on a rampage then, didn't I?
Yeah, I'll just nip off. You just come back when you want me to outro us.
Just do the whole episode. Oh my god, I can't help myself. Anyway, right, Shell, there are two things that I wanted you to think about. And the first one, and the only reason I'm saying this is because you've said on many occasions that you have a problem with people pleasing. And I know I do
yeah.
too. Last episode, I told you about how I stood in an optician's and bought glasses that I didn't need. But I wanted to put you on the spot. And I know James mentioned this and he said that, think about it like this. What would you lose if you said how you really felt? So you know all those times that you people please and you feel like you have to fit three people in on a certain day or you've got things to do. What is it that you would lose if you told people how you really felt?
I guess with overcommitting, I would be worried that I'll lose the friendship. I just never seem to have enough time to fit everybody in. That makes it sound like I've got this like endless list of friends. I don't have a lot of room in my calendar for socializing, and so it's spread very thin amongst the people that I do want to see, and so I end up seeing each person like every couple of months, which, you know, equates to three or four times a year. And then I feel guilty if someone messages me and they're like, oh, I've not seen you for ages, let's arrange something, because I'm always thinking, fuck, it has been about 4 months since I've seen that person. I need to do something with them. So then I'm immediately like, oh my God, where can I slot them in? I can't believe I've completely forgotten all about them. And so probably I people please and squeeze people in as a way of compensating for the fact that I'm a bit of a shit friend and no good at keeping in contact.
You see, this is the problem when you say I'm a bit of a shit friend. If you don't have time, then you don't have time. I know there was times where, I think there was one time where we went 11 months without talking, without seeing each other. And then we were like, oh my God, has it been so long? Now we know why we had ADHD, time management issues. And we didn't know how to prioritize things. But on one hand, you do have ADHD. You are bad with time management. You're also bad with prioritising, making decisions. And so if people knew
That's really hard. Yeah, but that's really hard for someone who doesn't have ADHD to grasp when you say to them, like, if you're not in front of me or the first five people on my WhatsApp, I literally forget you exist. Yeah. But I still love you and I want us to be friends.
Yeah, like, it sounds so
really
bad.
That's really hard for someone who's not neurodiverse to get their head around.
That is true. Oh, do you know what? Fuck it, you've ruined the whole episode now. No, that is true. This is what I was saying about sometimes you have to care about other people. You can't just go, fuck everyone, I'm just going to focus on myself, because you do have to maintain friendships. And by maintaining friendships and relationships with people, you do have to show up. And obviously there is something to be said about managing your time better. Probably shouldn't be looking at dogs or joining school meetings and, you know, things like that, but we'll let that slide.
This is the thing, like, I'm always like, oh, I've got no time, and then, but I somehow manage to find time for these ridiculous schemes that I get myself into. Like, I would say that I've got no time, but in reality I've probably spent close to 20 hours over the last 5 days researching this dog.
I did watch this thing once, and it said about prioritizing, and at the time I watched it, I didn't know that I potentially had ADHD, but it said that you always think you don't have time, and then something dramatic happens, I don't know, a pipe bursts in your house and it's flooding, and then you always find the time to prioritize that because it's urgent.
Yeah.
So in reality, we do have time. We just mismanage time.
Yeah.
So I think if we were able to prioritise a little bit more by being a bit more assertive, then maybe we wouldn't feel like we needed to kind of not have time to do things and then people please and think, oh, well, we've got to fit this person in and this person in because we feel guilty. So I think maybe that was the whole point. What would we lose if at that point in time we said we don't have time, but we do have time this time? Does that make sense? So in a way, we're kind of prioritising.
Yeah, that's something that I've been trying to do a lot more. Like, it's what sort of what James told us, isn't it, on his episode about a positive no. Like saying, oh, I'd love to, I can't, you know, on that date, but how about we schedule something in for another time? So
yeah,
I've definitely been making a conscious effort to try and do that more. But then I just come unstuck because I just think, oh no, I can fit that in. That's fine. The time management always comes back to bite me in the butt.
I think it depends as well why you're people pleasing. So for you, it's limited time prioritization. And then for other people, it is genuinely coming from more of a root issue. So for example, if you feel that you need to keep people happy so that they keep you happy, or if you take care of other people, they will take care of you. So people pleasing can also be like a bargaining tool for like love, I suppose, and a way of protecting yourself as well. And I told you last episode, I heard this thing that like kind of punched me in the gut, which was, If you please people, it means that you're a liar. And I was like, oh my God, I hope people don't think that, because that's not where it's coming from. I don't want to come across like I'm lying to people, like, oh, you know, I don't want to go there. Like, I really don't want to go there. So I'll just say that I am going there. But in a way, it's like, I feel like I need to keep other people happy, because like you said, in regards to the time issue, also, it's about wanting to make sure I show other people that I care about them. And maybe that sometimes comes across too much. So I think it is, you know, it's quite a black and white statement to say that if you please other people, that you are a liar. I don't think that's true. It comes from a deeper root cause. But anyway, let's get into talking about some of the ways that you can reduce your people pleasing.
Okay.
And why these are crucial for your well-being.
So one thing that I have been doing, I thought about this, is probably the only thing that I've had any real success for, is when we interviewed Andrew, Mr. Vegan Cakes, he was saying about remembering when you're people pleasing that you're a people too.
Yeah, I remember that.
And yeah, so I've started saying that to myself, sometimes out loud, but most of the time in my own head, because usually the person I'm people pleasing is right in front of me. And I started just like repeating to myself, you are a person too, you are a people too, you are a people too. And like, it does help me kind of remember that there's got to be a trade-off. It's not all about me, but it's not all about the other person as well. It's got to be a happy medium.
Yeah.
So it sort of makes me pause in that knee-jerk moment where I'm like, yeah, no, of course, absolutely. Yeah, I can definitely do that. Anything else you want me to do for you?
Yeah, just going overboard.
Kind of reins that in. Yeah, reins that in. Because that's another thing I'll do is like, not only will I agree to the original request, which I didn't really want to do, because I don't really want to do it, I'll then overcompensate by like agreeing to take more and more on to look even more keen. Oh my God.
So basically what you're saying there is it's starting with self-awareness, with you just saying, I'm a people too, and recognising that you're engaging in people-pleasing behaviour. So that's a great start, recognising that you're people-pleasing. And then I would say,
when you start getting into the practice of it as well, it is really easy to do, not necessarily to stop people pleasing, but to be self-aware that you're doing it, because for me anyway, I can't speak for everyone else, but for me, I do feel uncomfortable when I'm doing it. Like, I do know when I'm doing it, like I do have a feeling in the back of my head, like I don't want to be doing this, I don't want to be agreeing to this, and I just override it and do it anyway. So once you get into the habit of like being self-aware, like it's easier, I think, than other things. Yeah, it's easier than with other things with ADHD to find that point where you're like, oh, I'm doing it again. Whereas things like time management, I never managed to get a hold on that because time has no meaning. Yeah,
you're not aware.
Yeah,
I think it's important to pay attention to those situations where you're more likely to say yes to things that you don't want to do. And that starts with awareness. And then the next thing I would say is set boundaries. So just like you, when you were talking there about how you're saying, oh, you know, I'm saying that I'm going to do something, but you don't want to do it. I just get to a point sometimes where I get so fucking angry that I end up being really impulsive. And then it all just comes out to a person and they're like, whoa, 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 where did this come from? It's like, it has been building for months. And then I end up like coming across, I wouldn't say nasty, but quite sharp with people. So I think when it comes to boundaries, I think being clear on those boundaries and communicating it is the best way to tell people these boundaries. So healthy boundaries, healthy guidelines are really, really important. There's some examples that I've got here. So if you were in an aeroplane and the oxygen masks fell down, you would expect to put your own oxygen mask on first before you put it on anyone else, because obviously you don't want to pass out. So this is the same thing. So healthy boundaries and guidelines that you set for yourself and follow. So it could be something like, I don't have a lot of time at the moment, can we rearrange another time? Whereas an unhealthy response or an excuse that you make to put up walls or keep other people happy would be, really sorry I replied late. Yeah, that sounds good. Let me know when you want to meet. But you know...
Oh my God, you've literally copy-pasted that from one of my messages. That's how I start virtually every message.
So in this instance, you have to get clear. So the first example I gave you, which is, I don't have time right now. That's you establishing a boundary and communicating it. The second thing is, can we meet another time? Is you just saying, right, I can't do that now. Can we meet another time? And also, I would say, resist the urge to apologise. I see so many people with ADHD apologising for things that they do not need to apologise for. People might get angry. People might take it the wrong way. They're entitled to their feelings, but you're also entitled to make those boundaries and you shouldn't have to apologise. I do it a lot as well. I know I say, oh, I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry. I woke up late. I haven't messaged you all day. I'm so sorry I forgot.
That's such tact.
We shouldn't be saying sorry for these things. It's part of who we are. We can't change it. So going forward, we just need to be a little bit more assertive, which is the next thing. Assertiveness.
I literally feel so attacked in this episode. I feel like you've just gone...
I've just directed it all at you.
You've just gone back through our previous conversations and just, like, picked me to shreds. That is literally what I do. I start every message with, oh, I'm so sorry I've replied to this late. No, that sounds fantastic. Let me squeeze you in. Massive excuse about why I've not been in touch sooner. Giving you my whole life story that you don't need.
But do you know what? That's another thing. You don't need to make excuses. If you've been busy, you're busy. That's it. People just have to stop saying to themselves, I've got to reply to people. I've got to do this. You haven't got to do anything. You've got to just be yourself.
I just forget though. If I don't reply to people, I just forget. Like, I've started now leaving messages unread, because at least then it flags up that I need to go and do something with them. Because if I read a message and I don't immediately reply to it,
that's
I don't remember.
For me as well.
But I always read messages like at inappropriate times. Like, my phone doesn't have notifications, but I'll still check it.
3 o'clock in the morning.
At a time when, well, yeah, maybe not even 3 o'clock in the morning, because I could reply then. I'll do things like, I've just got in the car and I'm about to go somewhere and I'm late, obviously. I'm always late. And I'll check my phone before I start the car. So I'll check my phone, see if anyone's messaged me. If they have messaged me, I don't have time to reply because I'm fucking late.
So then you just get in the car.
Yeah, so then I'll put my phone away and start driving. And it's like, I don't know why I do that. I guess it's because I want to make sure I've not missed anything before I drive. But all it means is anyone that messaged me, that's it. Because once I get to my destination, I am never going to remember that there was a message at the beginning.
Okay, I give you that. I think in that instance, I do it too. Then, yeah, apologise. If you haven't replied to someone for like 2 days, then a nice, oh, sorry, I was busy or I forgot is fine. I'm just talking about like over apologising for things that you don't really need to apologise for. Like, it's just been a few hours and you've been busy. You don't need to apologise for that. So, yeah, that's something that everyone would benefit from doing. And then we talked about practicing assertiveness. So I know that when you've got ADHD or autism, and I'm not even going to say the word neuro, because I can't say it. Sometimes it can make it really difficult for you to express yourself properly. But practicing assertiveness can really help you communicate your needs effectively. And this is what I was saying at the beginning, is sometimes you do just need to get better with communicating. I know it's difficult, but just saying, do you know what? I know you're probably never going to understand ADHD or autism, but I do have ADHD. So if I take a while to reply to you, please don't take it personally.
Yeah.
It's because I've got ADHD and I don't mean it intentionally.
Yeah, yeah.
So just saying that, they might not understand, but you've said it.
No, well, that's true.
Can't do anything more than that, eh? Are you zoning out, Shell?
No, yes.
Yes, you are, you are.
Sorry, a little bit.
Do you remember the episode where you just zoned out, like...
I am very ill. I am clawing my way into consciousness.
Right, I'll tell you what, right? Because Shell's not feeling great this episode, we're 20 minutes in. What we'll do is we'll end it there, and then next week we'll do more. We've got a few to talk about, so we're not finished. So why don't we do that?
Okay. Yeah, I suppose. Oh, my life. Is this me setting a boundary?
It's you setting a boundary.
Except you've sort of done it for me, but I'll take it as my win.
This is the reason why I did it, because I thought there's no point in us both. I wondered what that was then. I thought that was a ghost.
What was
fucking
it?
Fucking hell, I don't know. The dog opened the door.
Oh.
There's no point in clawing your way through when we've got loads to talk about still. So let's end it there this week. So please subscribe if you want the next part. And then we'll just end on, what did you ADHD this week?
It's definitely your turn.
It's my turn.
It's definitely your turn.
Okay, so I do have one for this. See, I've came prepared.
You're so organised today. I'm thrown by this. This is not like you.
I know. I don't know what's happened. So my ADHD assessment, I still have not heard anything about it. And well, that's not true. I have heard something about it. It's going to be a 3-year waiting list.
Three years?
Yeah.
You've already been waiting over a year.
Could potentially be two. But I've recently found out that the letter that I've received, I've not been on the waiting list until I've received this letter and I have to give them information. So it's something that I've been obsessing over for the last couple of days. And I've decided, well, I didn't know whether I wanted to go for the assessment because I got into that whole hysteria of, I don't need an assessment anyway. Fuck it, I'm not doing this anymore. But obviously, it changes day to day, hour to hour.
Yeah, hour to hour, yeah. I've had several conversations talking you down off the precipice, begging you to not come off the list on another whim.
Okay, so I have decided that I am going to go for the assessment because obviously I do want to know. Do you know what I mean? I do want to know. But I'm not prepared to wait 2 to 3 years. I'm just not prepared to do it. So I've found a place that I'm not going to mention until I've spoke to the doctor, which is tomorrow at 7 a.m. I can't believe I've done this to myself.
7 a.m.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the doctors opened that early.
I know, right? But I think it's because I requested to speak to someone about my referral, so it's not actually an appointment.
Oh, right.
So I wrote this long email out anyway that I was going to send to the doctors, and then I decided, you know what? I just need to get over myself and give them a ring. So I called them. I got a receptionist that just was not very helpful. And so I put the phone down. I thought, do you know what? No, I do not need an appointment to speak to the doctor about a referral that happened almost a year ago.
Yeah, because the referral's already been done.
Exactly. I don't need an appointment. I just need 2 minutes with the doctor. So I rang back and I said, no, I don't need an appointment. I just need to speak to the referring doctor. To which she went away, came back. It seemed like it was a massive task to do this. But anyway, I got an appointment tomorrow at 7 a.m. So I know what's going to happen. I'm not going to get to bed early tonight. I'm going to hyper-focus all night. Remember, I've got everything written down of what I need to say in an email already. I'll get the phone call at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'll be half asleep. I won't know what to say. And I probably won't say what I want to say. But the plan is to get to use the right to choose.
Okay.
And get seen a lot faster. There is another place, but I'm not going to mention them just yet because I want to speak to the doctor first, get lots of information about it, and then at some point I'll update you all. But that's where I'm at with the assessment. That's what I've been hyper-focusing on this week. And yeah, I'm potentially, hopefully, going to be seen a lot quicker than 2 to 3 years. I don't know yet. But I'll update you all anyway. That's where I am with my assessment. Still not seeing anyone, so... Yay!
It's ridiculous.
But, you know, it's the journey, isn't it? That's what you do when you've got ADHD. I'm sure there's loads of people that have been waiting. And hopefully, if this works for me, I can pass this on to you, this information on to you, and hopefully get people seen a lot quicker. But we'll see anyway what happens. But yeah, we'll end the episode there this week, guys. Thanks for listening to us. And we'll see you next week for another episode of All Things ADHD.
What the fuck? I don't know how I can follow that. Yeah, bye.
I'm losing the world.
All right, that's everything this week, guys. But if you want to carry on with the conversation, join us over on our social media platforms. We're on all the major channels and our handle is @adopaminekick.
We'd also be super grateful if you could leave us a review on the podcast wherever you're listening, as it helps us to grow our audience and help more people. Okay, we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.